Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly of God podcast. We hope you enjoy this week's message. We'd love to hear what God is doing through this ministry. If you have a story to share, send us an email at connect@bedfordfirstag.org. Also, feel free to visit our website at bedfordfirstag.org. You can view the live stream of our services and find out more about our church. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Shannon, for your ministry. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, you might want to turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. We have been over, this is the 22nd message in this series. That's a large series of messages. We have been talking about salvation. I know quite often, and I've mentioned this before, but quite often we kind of boil things down a bit into a realm of simplicity so that we can transfer the information that we have to others. And that's important. We are supposed to give away our faith. We are supposed to give away our faith. We are supposed to give away our faith. Amen. Doesn't matter how long I wait. Some of you won't say a word, will you? Don't be afraid to say amen. Praise the Lord, whatever. You know, it's a safe place. The salvation that has been brought to us by the love of God, the sacrifice of Jesus, and which has been accepted by us through confession and belief, becomes a settled, eternal destiny for those who walk in Christ. Title of my message this morning is Eternally Secure. This is part of our assurance of salvation. Yes. He who redeemed us from the penalty of sin has promised to make all things new. It's what we studied last week. New covenant, new creation, new life, new attitude, new command, and we finished our course, a new name. As we walk out our journey of life, we're promised a new freedom in Christ. Spiritual freedom, freedom from sin's bondage, freedom from the penalty of sin and death. And also physical freedom. Freedom from the effects of sin on our bodies, freedom from the traps and addictions, freedom from physical death by resurrection. Hallelujah. You know, I've watched and listened to many young people as they are transitioning from being in mom and dad's household to a different level of freedom. Some going off to college, others going off into their work life and getting their own places. And quite often, many of them, sad to say, but many of them will turn away from their faith. What is continually interesting to me is that many of them turn to nothing. Nothing. the hope alone, just the hope that we have in Christ is enough for us to continue to believe and to serve Him. Just the hope. People are trading that hope for hopelessness. I've actually heard it said by a young person, when you die, that's it. Well, I disagree with that. I believe the Bible is true, and the Bible says after we die, there's judgment. We're going to stand before God. But even with ignoring that reality, just to know that there's more, that it's not the end when we breathe our last breath. To know the God who offers us love and companionship and peace. Now, come on, think about it. The world doesn't offer any of that. So to turn away from God means to turn away from everything that every one of us really desire in our lives, of companionship, of love, of peace, of joy. Oh, I will admit to you this morning that the world offers happiness for a season. It doesn't take very long, or you don't have to go very far to realize that that happiness is short-lived. That on the other side of it, there's pain. You go out and drink yourself silly. Laugh, carry on. Have a good time with friends and everything like that. But then there's the next day. Now, I personally have never gone there, and that's not to brag. That's not been my area of temptation. But I've often wondered about that because I watch individuals keep reaching for that high, keep reaching for that happiness in that bottle, in those pills, in that drug, whatever it is. And yet God has said, come to me. And I'll give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. I'll give you peace that passes all understanding. You know, I guess what I'm saying is almost common sense would tell us that the best route in life is the route that has God in it. I mean, if you really stand back and take a look, what do we have to lose? We have not only the companionship with the Lord, but we have the friendship with one another. Sharon and I, over this last week, and I'll not go into all the details of this, but you know, have had encounters with individuals from days past in the body of Christ. I wouldn't trade it for anything. It's amazing. Just the companionship that we have with one another and with the Lord. I'm not trying to convince you this morning. I just want you to realize we're not the tail. We're the head. That makes sense? To follow after the Lord is not some, though even the media and everybody will try to make it sound like, oh, you know, pat them on the head, bless their hearts. They need God. Nothing wrong with needing God. It's a great life. Today, as we close this study, today is the last message in this study of salvation for this time. But here's another look at the assurance that we have of our salvation. And I want to say it in this way: for those who have accepted Christ's sacrifice and live in relationship with Him. Fortunately, I don't think that we put both pieces together. Too many accept Christ's sacrifice, but they do not accept a life in Him. And so they miss out on the benefits. We're going to look at two powerful areas this morning. The first is our eternal security in Christ and our witness to salvation. So let's begin with this eternal security in Christ. And I know, you know, I specifically called it this because I knew that it would mess with some of you. Are we Calvinist? What are we? Good, I want to bump up against your theology. I do. Those of you who've been at this for a long time and you have some things settled in your mind and some words, you know, that somebody has said or penned or coined or whatever, and you latch on to that and you say, no, I can't say eternal security because that's once saved, always saved. Here, I'm going to shock you. I believe that once you're really saved, you are always saved. Amen. I think it's settled. Because, see, I believe that true salvation is not only an event, but it's a life. Falling in love with Jesus. Realizing that there's a name that is above every name that can change my circumstances. And I live for that name. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Scripture repeatedly, and I'll give you a few of them today, but repeatedly brings the emphasis that this is not just a physical decision that we make, but it is a spiritual covenant that we enter into. And what God promises, He never backs out on. Look at 1 John chapter 4, verse number 13. This is how we know that we live for Him, or live in Him, and He in us. He has given us His Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. What a powerful statement. I wish I had time to just elaborate on that alone. We need to understand the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all involved in our salvation. The love of God sent Jesus. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's the love of God. Oh, I've said this to you before. I want to keep saying it over and over again. Get your theology correct as to who God is. Yes, He's a God of judgment. When men and women reject Him, they will stand before Him as judge. But if you and I will accept His love sent in the person of Jesus, the sacrifice is complete for our sins, sacrifice for all of us, body, mind, and spirit. He is ready to welcome us into His heaven and to bring us back to an earth that He prepares for us. Holy Spirit's work in our salvation. Now, I want to spend weeks here, but I'm going to just take this moment, if you will, to let you know that the Holy Spirit is at work in our salvation. The Holy Spirit convicts us of our sins. Is that true? I'll tell you what, I know some of you are not amenners. Do this for me. Just kind of give me one of those, you know. If what I say is true, you know, just kind of go like that. Or maybe, you know, maybe you're a little more demonstrative than that. Go. Just something that says, I am alive. I may not look like it, but I am alive. Okay. I said the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. Thank you. That's better. The Holy Spirit brings us the message of the gospel to our hearts. Now, let me qualify that just a little bit. He doesn't just send the gospel out there, but he sends the gospel to our hearts. He will deliver it to us in the voice, in the manner that we can hear it. His gospel sometimes comes through the written word. Someone picks up a Bible in a hotel, reads the Bible, and it speaks to them, and they bow their knee and give their hearts to the Lord. Hallelujah. Sometimes in the foolishness of preaching or someone teaching, the Holy Spirit will move and the voice of the minister will penetrate into the life and they will say yes to the Lord. Not just preachers. Sometimes it's a neighbor. Sometimes it's a friend that says, oh, you just got to know my Jesus. You wouldn't believe what a companion he is to me and the peace that I have. Even in the midst of trouble and difficulty, I know I'm not alone. I have the God of the universe who's ministering to me. That is the Holy Spirit speaking the message of the cross directly to you. Thank you, Lord. It's the Holy Spirit who guides us into truth. That's who he is. I would ask, how many of you have heard something spoken, supposedly religious, supposedly spiritual, and as you were listening to it, something down inside of you says, mm-mm. Nope, 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 nope. Even brand new believers, this happens to them. They say, you know, I turned on such and such, or I picked up and read such and such. And as I was reading it, I had this weirdest feeling that something wasn't right about this. That's the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Guiding us into truth, keeping us from going down paths where we shouldn't go. It's the Holy Spirit who comes into our lives, both as the seal of ownership and as the guide. Listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 14. If you love me, you will obey my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. He was pronouncing that to his disciples. The promise was that the Spirit would be in us. It's not just that the third person of the Godhead acknowledges a change of our lives or a decision that we have made, but literally, he comes into us. We talked about freedom last week. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, freedom. How does that freedom come into our lives? How is the power of sin broken? It is because as we accept Christ as our Savior, that the Spirit of God comes in and dwells within us and begins to minister to us from the inside. Literally, the laws of God, if you will, are written in our heart, and page by page, point by point, is illuminated to us by the Holy Spirit. Hmm. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 says that the Spirit gives purpose to our flesh. Listen to this. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? Your body, my body, as we accept Christ as Savior, changes focus. We are no longer just in the pursuit of this world, but now we are the physical embodiment of the Spirit of the Lord. Remember when Jesus was baptized and he came up out of the water and a dove descended from heaven? The Spirit of the Lord came down and rested upon him and remained? See, this is what God is doing. As we truly accept Christ as our Savior and invite him to be the master of our lives, his Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, comes and indwells us. You say, wow, wow. I should have felt more when that happened. Sometimes it takes us a while to realize it. Partly because we don't acknowledge the work that he's doing. As he's convicting us of sin, as he's sharing with us a better route than the one that we have taken in the past. Maybe even friendships and individuals that we were accustomed to being around, and we call them up and we're getting ready to put together a date to get together, and something down inside of us, something down inside of us says, not the best person to be around. See, and in that moment, we make a decision. Am I going to listen? We say, well, now if God would speak to me out of the clouds, that's always glorious. Oh, if he would give me a dream, those are magnificent. But let me tell you something. He wants to talk to you from within. I mean, that's close. Jesus said, you've understood, because the Spirit of the Lord was in him. He said, you've understood what life was like having me with you and the Spirit with you. He said, but I've got a plan that he is going to be in you. Now you say, and I can't go too far down this road, but let me just give you a little illustration to give you a piece of it. Someone says, and I just read a little book last night of an individual who sent this book to me, who was saying that spirit baptism is the true salvation, that when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak in other tongues, that it is the evidence of salvation. Oh, I don't believe it. I believe that when we accept Christ as our Savior, that the Spirit of the Lord comes in, takes up residence within us. I believe that the baptism in the Holy Spirit is another event or yielding point in our lives. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you drink coffee? Come on, be honest. I know it's a drug, but go ahead. All right. My hand is up. I drink coffee. Now, there is a huge difference between saying, I drink coffee, and the existence that some of you live. Because some of you have coffee right now in your car. And you walked from your car into the kitchen and got another cup. Those doors are closed, right? Okay. My wife will not leave the house without a cup of coffee. We're running late. She's got to stop at the Keurig and run a cup of coffee into her container. She may never drink of it the whole time we're gone. Me? I can go weeks without drinking a cup of coffee. I can still say I'm a coffee drinker. But there's a big difference between me and those that go and sit in line, the long line at Starbucks. I know, I went right off in meddling, didn't I? Now what I want you to see is, you know, the Holy Spirit is in you. When you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you become a possession of that Spirit. To the negative, one of the clearest pictures that we may have is we all have at least a little bit of an understanding of demon possession. You've seen it, heard it, somebody's head spinning around, throwing up. No, I mean, it's horrible. Understand that the devil has nothing original. He is counterfeiting. When the Spirit of the Lord is upon an individual, they are taken beyond what they could do themselves. That is, that they have yielded the members of their body, including their tongue, to the moving of the Spirit of God who is within them, and said, take over. You can do this better than I can. Now, let me just give this one word, and that is, you know, some come down and all they're looking for is to speak a few words in an unknown tongue. They get up and that's the end of it. I would say to you, they're not filled with the Spirit. Because the Spirit-filled life is the life that has dunamis, power. It's changed. It is under the anointing of God. Everything begins to change. And you become possessed, if you will, by the Spirit of God. Okay. Let's move back. At salvation, His Spirit comes within us, and His Spirit presence is a seal upon us. The word that is used there is the same as back in John's day. They would take a scroll, roll it up, melt wax, kind of what our kids are doing in there to the pumpkins this morning. They would melt wax, put a nice size drip on it, and then take their signet ring or their stamp and stamp into it, and their mark was on it. So then only those who had the right to open up that scroll could break the seal. The Holy Spirit of God has been placed upon our lives and His name stamped upon it, that saying, He, she is mine. Listen. I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When the Spirit of God has been placed upon us and God puts His signet ring on us and says, this one is mine. No devil, no height, no depth, anything can take us out of the love of God. You can still walk away, but nothing can steal you. Those who obey His commands live in Him and He in them. And this is how we know that He lives in us. We know it by the Spirit He gave us. When you choose a path to not listen to the voice of the Spirit within you, to not move with Him, you walk out from under that canopy of blessing. We have that capability, but no one, no thing, nothing can take us out of the love of God. Listen to this, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 21. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. It's kind of like God says, here, you won't believe what I have for you in the future. And can I tell you, that's not just after you leave this world. If you would learn to walk in Christ, he will make you a new creation. If you will allow his Spirit to be your guide, he will take you to places you never thought possible and use you in ways that you can't believe. One last thing. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Praise God. You see, that begins to tie up the assurance that we have in the Lord. You see, I am redeemed. I belong to Christ. There are many things in this world that I'm not sure of. And the older I get, there's more of them. But this I'm sure of. I belong to Christ. Hallelujah. Let me take it one more step here this morning. I just have a couple more minutes. But in Acts 2:38, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost," or Holy Spirit. Our witness to salvation, which is important to our salvation and to our assurance, begins with baptism in water. Water baptism is not just a gift, it is a command. Repent and be baptized. Every one of you. Everybody says, and I've heard all kinds of foolishness in this regard. Well, the thief on the cross was never baptized. Then someone else says, well, I think it rained. Don't try to explain things. Water baptism is the outward expression of an inward happening. But it's still very important. Because he is telling us that as we repent, as we come into his fold, as the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, we have a responsibility to confess that. And the beginning point of that is to walk in the waters of baptism. I can go through scriptures, Acts 2:38, Acts 8:38, Acts 9:18, Acts 16:15, Acts 16:33. All of those are expressions that as an individual believed, including the Apostle Paul, as soon as his eyes were opened, the scales fell off of his eyes, he was baptized. Water baptism is our first witness to a transformed life because it demonstrates our recognition of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That's the reason why that we need much water when we baptize. We don't just sprinkle people here. Because you need to be buried with him in the water of baptism and then brought back up and resurrected. We share in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Amen? I love it when people invite friends and relatives to their water baptism service. I'm going to be baptized. I accepted Christ into my life. You see, it's a grand time. Come. I want to show you what's happened to me. My sin was born on the body of Jesus and he died. And he was resurrected. Hallelujah. Don't you know that all of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Not just out in eternity, but now. We can say to our relatives and our friends, expect me to be different. Why? Because you were in water? Because what the water means. Mark 16, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. I'll point out right here at the beginning, he does not say, whoever does not believe and is not baptized. He says, whoever does not believe. But I'll tell you this morning, I cannot understand any person who believes in the Lord Jesus and wants to follow him who would not be baptized. Because Jesus himself submitted himself to baptism in John's hands. A baptism of repentance for a man who never sinned. But he said, I need to do this because people will be following my life. It's part of our salvation experience to be baptized in water. And I would conclude this morning with a couple of verses. In chapter 5 of 1 John, he kind of lays this whole thing out that we've been talking about in these last 22 messages. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone loves the Father, everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. Listen to this. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. Don't be confused with that. There's a picture there of two things in Christ's life. One was his water baptism and then the shedding of his blood at the crucifixion. But also, when they ran the spear into him, blood and water flowed from his body. So there is a significance, a salvation experience that is part of this. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are in agreement. We accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because they have not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Doesn't mess around. You are either saved, transformed, free by the blood of Christ, or you're not. There's no in between. You'll find this about the Word of God. Very black and white when it comes to being his or not being his. To as many as receive him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Out of the love of God, he wants all to be redeemed. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Are you redeemed today? Is it a settled issue in your heart to where you are following the Spirit of God that he has placed within you? Every moment of every day, listening for his voice. Oh, trust me. There are times in every single one of our lives that we grieve the Holy Spirit, go on about our own way, fail to listen to his voice. We listen to all the noise of the world. And then we miss out on the blessings that he has for us. See, there's a priority thing that comes into being here. When we really know the Lord, this verse comes right to the forefront. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That's what happens when the Spirit of God is within us. Our priorities of life change. Serving him, number one. Then everything else will fall into place. Sometimes we get confused on that as every believer. Can I get a witness? Huh? We start letting the priorities of this life, thinking, oh my goodness, I've got to pour myself into this. I've got to pour myself into this and make it happen. Not if it's God. If you'll seek God, put him first, he'll make it happen. And you'll see, it took less of you and more of him. Our God's an awesome God. Would you stand with me, please? I thank you for your patience as we've moved through these 22 messages on the salvation. But I hope that somewhere along the line, something has maybe stuck. I just wonder this morning if there's anybody here who has never accepted Christ as your Savior. You've never given your life to him. I surely don't want to embarrass you. This isn't our objective at all. But I would love to pray with you. And if, as people are heading that direction to leave this room, if you come up here, either myself or one of our elders, you can make our day by allowing us to pray with you to accept Christ into as your Savior. If you've been trying to dance the world's dance and still call yourself a believer, today is a good day to change course. Call out the Spirit of the Lord. Ask for his guidance, his direction. I invite you to find either a place here, one of these altars, or right there where you're at, to turn and just settle the issue before the Lord, before you leave this house. Why do I always say, do it before you leave? Because see, I know real life. As you walk through those doors back there and head out, life is going to gather around you and you're going to have a busy. You're going to have to eat some lunch, and I'm sure every single one of you have some plans of some sort. And I doubt seriously that those include hearing another sermon. So if you allow the Holy Spirit, if he's speaking to your heart, to do some business right now before you leave, it's going to be to your benefit. So we're going to pray a prayer of dismissal. These altars are open. The Holy Spirit is in this place. He's in you if you know him as Savior. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning that you would grant us this hour and 15 minutes together. wow, God. Wow. You want our attention every day, every moment. But thank you so much that we could gather together for this time and share your word together and share your spirit and rejoice before you and enjoy one another. Thank you for this time. But Lord, I pray this morning specifically for those who have never accepted you as their Savior. May this be the day, God, that your Spirit draws them in, that their lives can be changed, that they can accept you as their Savior and Lord, and your Spirit be that deposit that guarantees their life in you. Then, Lord, I also pray for those who've been trying to play the game, pursue the world, and yet still have a spiritual life. Oh, God, help us to reverse it. Help us to seek you first. Help us to call out to you and to serve you first, knowing that you can make all the rest happen because you're a big God and you love us. Now I pray, Master, your blessings over this wonderful family. God, go with us. And may this be an incredible week as we serve you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you, and be nice to one another as you leave. Don't run over anybody in the parking lot.